Joining us on today's Innovative Ideas podcast is Thomas Miller, a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a former senior health economist for the Joint Economic Committee in Congress. We're talking with Tom today about his recent Wall Street Journal article, How to Reform Obamacare Starting Now. Tom, thanks for joining us on the Innovative Ideas podcast.
Pleasure to be with you, Paul.
Tom, I thought it was a really interesting article, especially from the point of view that most of the attention and political fire right now is being directed at the congressional races. And you are pointing out that the governors are going to have the potential, at least, to, and I quote, perform as much radical surgery as possible on the insurance exchanges that are required under the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. So what do you see as the advantage of pushing the debate to the governor's offices, both from a tactical and a substantive policy angle?
Well, this isn't going to quite be fully the jaws of life. We've got lots of problems in the structure of the legislation, but there's a lot of leeway and holes that can be filled depending upon who wants to occupy the territory first. This was a strange piece of legislation, which, because it couldn't swallow the healthcare system whole, it left a lot of implementation and regulatory details, at least to some degree, to the states, partly through the insurance commissioners, partly through the legislatures and the governors. Now, there's a lot of guidelines on top of that. So this provides an opportunity for more aggressive states not to just sit back and say, we're not playing, we're taking our ball and going home, because in many cases we saw with the high-risk pools, the feds will occupy that territory to some degree. They were going to have a little more trouble doing it with the exchanges, though, because there's a lot of details, a lot of infrastructure you have to build, and they were hoping to rent out the states as kind of cat's paws implementation offices for the federal design scheme. But we've got a lot of new governors coming in after the November election, so a good number of them will be Republican. And this is a different outlet for the states to say, just a minute, it's our health care market too, and we want to put our imprint on what would be a more consumer market-friendly approach to doing this, as opposed to what seems to be the directions coming from HHS and the current administration.
And I think this is a really great way of continuing the debate over interstate insurance competition.
Mm-hmm.
I'd spoken to a couple of former advisors to the McCain campaign, and both of them had said, yes, we envision that there would have been more exchanges even under our system. Could you talk about how the exchanges would operate, moving in the direction of more competition, more choice in consumer insurance market, as opposed to the Obamacare model, which is, you know, you can have any type of insurance you want as long
right.
as it's the kind we tell you to buy?
Right. Well, as we often have in health policy, there are terms which sometimes they take on a motherhood aura because no one knows exactly what they mean, and each party reads into it their version of it. In a theoretical sense, an exchange is an appropriate vehicle to fill a gap in the marketplace, particularly for individuals seeking insurance, employees in small businesses, or employers are having trouble basically structuring their own employee insurance plans. There could be a valuable role for a friendly, neutral, information-based, competitive-oriented exchange, which makes it easier to engage a wider range of the plans that are already on the market, give better information about them, and perhaps even allow you to make the payments of them a little bit easier from multiple sources. That's what everybody says we're in favor of. The problem is that there are other agendas at play here in the legislation, and from the viewpoint of those who created this legislation, they really wanted the exchanges a stepping stone toward a much more intensive federal control of most health care choices. They know exactly what's right for these consumers, and they'll give it to them, and that's what will be available on the exchange. So it's somewhat of a transition step to make it look private, but be largely politically controlled. That's what the battle's about. There's a better way to do the exchanges, but you have to be careful about how you do it. And the key choke points are how you define a qualified health plan. The legislation is designed to steer people toward a fairly extensive set of benefits in certain prescribed categories, which will drive you in one place, and then exclude plans that won't be willing to play ball and take some of the subtle messages also coming from the regulators, either in Washington or in the states. The better way to think about this is to say, if plans are authorized to do business in a state, they should also be allowed to play on the exchange. Let consumers decide what type of insurance they want, what they want to pay. You can give them better information about the choices. No one's going to get any special deals and breaks without knowing what's in it. But that's how we can actually drive this competition in the right direction and perhaps even have several states get together across state lines to agree on some common rules and have a little bit more of an interstate combination. But again, in the law, their idea of interstate competition is to make sure that every single state involved in one of those agreements has the highest level of benefits and the highest standards possible, and you can't go below that. So it's a one-way view of competition, which is you get to comply with what we want you to do.
Right. As I read it, really what you get to choose is how much out-of-pocket you're going to have, how much out-of-pocket payment you're going to have, and what premium you're going to pay. But basically, you're going to have four different varieties of vanilla.
Yeah, they have them different metal colorings. Platinum, the richest, and that's the 90% of the actuarial value. And then you go down to gold, silver, and bronze. I've always preferred zirconium myself with a decoder ring.
One thing that you talked about in your article a little bit was the value of guaranteed renewability. And the way I read this was, look, if you don't like the idea of a mandate and forcing people to buy insurance, maybe you can give them a carrot to get them into the exchange when they're still young and buying insurance, you know, these young invincibles who are running around thinking they're never going to get sick. But one way of enticing them in would to say, if you buy insurance now, those rates are going to be guaranteed renewed. Can you explain that?
Well, it's the idea is you want to reward and incentivize responsible, positive behavior. But if you want to go in a different direction, there may be some costs to it, and you don't get any additional enhanced protections. We have this to some degree in a lot of states, although it doesn't work perfectly, what's called guaranteed renewability, which works if you stay with the same individual insurer, and generally speaking, you're pretty much protected from, you know, being excluded or having unusual rate increases. But the idea here is that as long as you stay continuously insured, you're a member of the club. You've done all you can do. And so at the time you enter one of these exchanges, this would have to change the way that they're currently structured, you're allowed to be evaluated for your risk. But once you're in there, you know, both the insurer or the exchange administrator and the individual, they came in equally knowledgeable and equally aware of what the risks were. And therefore, if something changes later on, it's just the uncertainties of life, and you should be covered against any sudden rate spikes based upon your health status. That would encourage more people to first get insurance, to get that protection. But if they want to be, you know, living in a cave and not have anything else to do with the healthcare system, that's a valid individual choice, but there may be some consequences to it, which is that you want to be a independent buccaneer person, save your money and stay healthy.
Now, the best known of the exchanges is, of course, the Massachusetts Exchange, which is basically Obamacare Lite, and you've talked about that elsewhere. But there's also a couple of other exchange experiments out there. The other one, at least from a free market perspective, is Utah. Have you looked at that, and is that something a bit closer to what you're thinking of in this article?
Closer. I mean, every state's going to be a little bit different, but they've at least evolved to a model which is very much more of a let all the comers come in terms of insurance plans. Let's make sure we give you good information. It's not particularly loaded with bureaucratic hand-holding and central command of state employees to run everything through them. They do it light, they do it smart, and they've made some progress in actually fielding an exchange. They've gone to a second generation of it this last year, and I've talked to the Utah people, and they filed some comments saying, don't tie us down, don't box us in with these thick rules that are going to undermine what we want to do for our folks in Utah. California also has just passed a law for an exchange. They haven't fielded it yet, but given California politics, it'll be fairly heavy-handed, and they're going to go to kind of an exclusive purchasing environment where they'll get a couple of folks let into the club and then browbeat them till they say uncle. Massachusetts has been kind of in between, although it's got a lot of problems with its connector. They haven't really occupied as much of the territory above the subsidized market, above what's about $50,000 income, and they really haven't captured much of the small employer market thus far.
From what I understand, the vast majority of the coverage expansion in Massachusetts is through heavily subsidized coverage or Medicaid expansion.
That's right. If you pay for it, people will eventually come. But if you actually have to pay for it yourself, they'll think about it twice.
If the government buys it for you, you'll take it.
Most of the time, not exclusively, but there are still holdouts, amazingly enough.
For state policymakers who want to look at developing more market-friendly exchanges, and also perhaps push HHS, because I understand Utah is asking for a waiver for its exchange. I think another state, Maine, had asked for waivers, at least on the insurance part of the MLR.
So you've
got a number of states who are asking at this early point to get waivers from one or more aspect of the legislation for how they're going to be setting up their insurance markets. What are some of the key issues and ideas that policymakers should be thinking of who want to promote these more market-oriented exchanges? What advice would you give them? What three or four things do you think they need to focus on for the next couple of years in terms of rolling this out?
Well, I think they can try to plead for more reasonable regulations, but I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in that basket, because knowing the folks who are going to write this eventually, they want to go to a particular destination. Although they can be stupider or a little better, but just asking for short-term flexibility isn't really the solution here. What Scott and I were suggesting in the article is to go ahead and put real exchanges on the ground. Go ahead and set up something. Now, you're not going to get any federal subsidies for it, but no one is getting those subsidies until 2014 anyway. But put a functioning marketplace in your state, and then basically look at the feds in 2013 and say, look, what we have works. It's helping our consumers. Why do you want to blow this up? You want to have that political debate about this? Or then do you want to start granting some waivers or rolling back these dictates? The rules about whether you have to treat plans on the outside the same as on the inside, how thick and heavy the rate review is, pseudo price controls. All those are important ingredients in how you do this. But the main idea is you want a broader menu of choices, not a narrow bandbox of a limited set of approved plans. And you don't want this to be just the folks who can play the game politically to get on the exchange and everybody else has to press their nose outside the window.
And so this is really a way of establishing facts on the ground.
Correct.
That whoever is going to be in the office in 2014 is going to have to deal with one way or the other.
There are going to be some very ugly facts on the ground from what's currently being proposed and implemented through the original legislation. The political environment is changing. Ultimately, what most people want is something that works, not some abstract ideology, not some takeover at a higher level politically. And so if the states can actually put something out there which looks like a better approach to what currently exists and certainly what is about to be imposed upon them, they've got a chance to make some progress.
Terrific. That's a wonderful way to finish our conversation. Tom, thank you very much for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Take care.